Here's what all your friends heard last week on Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast.
Did you know Daniel Radcliffe, our good Mr. Potter, has been through 160 pairs of glasses during all the films? Can you believe that?
Oculus Repairer.
You are kidding. I've been through 160 pairs of pants. I just exploded them out one well, after another in the last 10 years.
He wore out 60 to 70 wands during the making of Harry Potter. And I don't know if that's a euphemism, Cliff. I don't know.
Get ready for a heap and help and a sassitude. Here comes Cliff and Kendall.
Cliff and Kendall, two big old boys from Nashville, grew up and branched out all across America. From thousands of miles away, they reunite online and in your ear, each week bringing you bits of humanity in the form of a podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, Cliff and Kendall. Whoa.
Hey, brothers and sisters out there.
Brothers and sisters, sisters and brothers, fathers and mothers, welcome to the show.
Welcome, everybody. Cliff, we are approaching ever so quickly our 200th episode. Can you believe that shit?
I really cannot. It is ridiculous.
It is. We have been doing this for so long, and we have not gotten any skinnier or any younger.
No. Quite the opposite of both.
Already funnier.
No. We've got more annoying, more self-centered. It's ridiculous. It's all gone downhill from episode one, so we're 200 steps down. Think how much further we can go.
Oh, there's plenty of room. There's plenty of room at the bottom.
Eventually, though, we'll go so far down, we'll start coming back around to the top. So that's what
our listeners
are
waiting
for.
That's what our listeners are waiting for.
And that's what they're waiting for. And when we get back to episode one, that's when we know we're calling it quits.
So, Cliff, brothers and sisters, siblings is what we're going to call them this week.
Siblings.
Cliff,
what do you think about? Tell me about your siblings, Kendall, as an example, as a case study for America.
Oh, I don't know if our listeners want to hear about my siblings. No.
They don't, but what do they want to hear? We don't know. That's why we're talking about siblings.
Well,
so tell us more.
I'm about to drop a shock onto all our listeners.
I'm going to drop a shock.
I don't have any real 100% siblings.
I was thinking about this last week, because neither do I, and it came to me, I don't think Kendall's sister, I think that's his half-sister.
She is my half-sister.
Another way, we are exactly the same.
My sister is my half-sister from my mother's previous marriage, and I have a half-brother and half-sister on my father's side from his earlier marriage.
Okay.
So we have no basis to do the show. Stop the show, can't even talk about siblings anymore. But I looked it up for this very reason. Siblings, the definition of siblings, are people who share at least one parent. So we are siblings. We're just not...
So we do have siblings.
Yeah.
Okay. We're mudblood siblings,
we're mudblood.
Draco Malfoy might say.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what else to say. Completely lost train of thought. well, I have a lot of things to say about siblings. I just don't know what to say first.
There's so many listeners. We've got listeners. We've got such good information for you coming right up. Starting with this. Take it, Kendall.
Well, Cliff, sibling. Sibling is a modern revival of an old English word meaning relative or kinsman. Did you know that?
That's where kinfolk came from, isn't it?
It is. Kinsman, kinfolk.
Kinsman.
Relative.
I feel like anthropologists.
Now, Cliff, I know you have a couple half siblings.
I have one half sibling.
Oh, is that all? I thought you had more.
Yeah, and I have two stepbrothers.
So I thought you had more than one. I thought you had a couple half brothers.
I have one half brother, younger, and I have two slightly older stepbrothers.
Oh, stepbrothers. Okay, that's where I was confused.
Yeah.
Another form of siblings.
Another beautiful expression of God's love.
Now, Cliff, have you ever experienced any sibling rivalry?
I don't know. Well, it's very weird because I am, in some ways, I am every kind of child. I'm Marsha, Jan, and Cindy.
Because you're the size of all three.
And cousin Oliver, the only child, because like you, I'm only who has both my parents.
I'm
older than my half brother, and I'm younger than both of my stepbrothers, and if you put that together, I'm in the middle. So look at that, America.
Whoa.
So, in answer to the question, have you ever had a sibling rivalry? What was your answer again? I'm afraid I missed it in that soliloquy.
I've had so many rivalries. I'm much older than my younger brother. Uh-huh. Much older than a lot of people these days. Yeah. But, you know, so it wasn't so much rivalry because he was so much younger, but it was a little bit. I think whenever you have a younger sibling, you're always kind of jealous of them.
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, it's, family, sibling rivalry, siblings compete to define who they are. And that they want to show that their parents, that they're separate from their siblings. And that's, I think, why it does it. But you know me. I've had plenty of sibling rivalry.
I know you. Your life is one long lesson in how not to have a sibling rivalry.
It is. I'm an expert. I'm like Dr. Phil in sibling rivalry.
You're the size of Dr. Phil in anything. And...
Oh, God.
Tell the story about how you had to walk home naked.
Have I never told that on this show?
I don't think so.
Oh, well, God help us, listeners. Just hang on. when I was a kid, my sister and her husband's time lived behind our house. And I don't know why. I was spraying her with a hose pipe or something, garden hose.
And oh, no.
Hose pipe sounds way more southern, so I'll say garden hose. I was spraying with a garden hose, lovey. And she said, you spray me with that hose one more time, and there are going to be consequences. And, well, I was just on a roll, Cliff. I thought I was hilarious that I was spraying her with this hose. So
you were a child.
I was not in my right mind. And I sprayed her, and her husband decided that it would be real funny to take all my clothes off and make me walk back home naked. Now, granted, it was behind my mother's house, but there was quite a little walk, and I cried all the way home, and I walked in, and my mom's like, what happened? And she made me take all my clothes off and walk home. See, now today, people would be arrested for that kind of shit.
They really would. It's harassment of sexual nature when you take people's clothes off. Like, you had no clothes on?
I had nothing on.
Because that's
I mean,
terrifying.
We were in the South. I ran around with very little clothes on to begin with. So that's just a drop in the bucket of the sibling rivalry that I discussed earlier.
Yeah.
There are many other stories that our listeners just don't want to hear because they're way too sordid past of mine.
The listeners are saying, yes, we do want to hear that. If you put it that way,
well,
turn us in.
Stay tuned to the next 200 episodes, listeners, and they're sure to come out. this is a really interesting fact that our writers dug up, Cliff, and our researchers over at Cliffing in the Laboratories. Did you know that 80 to 90% of all the people in the United States have at least one birth sibling?
80 to 90%.
Isn't that
wonders?
I mean,
never see.
If you really think about it, it's really strange. I know you're making fun of me, but it's a crazy fact that 90% of people, are not only children, are not single children, only children, whatever you call it. Yes.
When I was younger,
so we put a song to that. I feel like that later is going to come back with echoes and music. When you were younger,
I always was jealous of people who had other siblings and like their parents and you know who had full blooded.
Oh well, I was too.
Siblings.
I mean, I never had really a brother growing up, and I always thought, oh, it'd be so cool to have a brother to share things with. And then I met one in college, a big fat one.
I know, Kendall. People are vomiting because of how sentimental this run of episodes has been.
You're the sibling I never had.
Yes,
Cliff.
You are. But you know, our 10th anniversary show, all and up through episode 200, it's a three hanky extravaganza.
It's just a big fat love.
The snod bottom, potter butter churn wedding. It's people have been crying with us all year long.
Put your hankies away.
And it's only July. But you really are. And I was thinking the other day, I was exercising, if you can believe it.
Whoa.
If you
can. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we started bad jokes. Sorry.
Believe it, Kendall.
I can't.
It's no joke. I was exercising.
Oh, God.
And it came to me because I thought, oh, you know, I'm jealous of people who have full-blooded siblings. And I bet that's blah, blah, blah. I don't even know what that would be like. And I thought, but I know people who have full-blood siblings, and they're not, like, close, and they don't have, you know, good relationships. And then I know people who do, but, you know, there's just as many who don't, you know, hardly ever see them as, you know, as anybody. And I thought, I'm so lucky. I'm so lucky to have you, who is, you are a better brother than I could ever wish out of my any real people who are called brothers to me.
Well, and ditto to you, I'm not only a better brother, I'm a bigger brother.
You're a bigger brother.
Than you could have ever asked for.
Bigger is better, Kendall, and that is no joke.
If only it were a joke. God, I wish that was a joke.
If only. Oh.
Because I don't want to be better. I don't want to be bigger. I want to smaller is better.
Cliff, smaller is smarter. Yeah.
Two thieves break into a bank. Maybe they were brothers.
Probably so. Two brotherly thieves.
They break into the bank in the middle of the night and open a safe. Now, Cliff, there is only some yogurt in the safe and no money. They taste the yogurt.
Oh my God.
And it is tainted, Cliff. This yogurt is tainted. Now the men open the next safe. There is some yogurt in there too, and it tastes much better. But again, no money. The thieves take on another safe, and there's yogurt again. Now, this sounds like a bank we would probably like if they're talking about yogurt.
Kendall, I gotta stop you and tell you, I don't know where this joke is going.
You don't. John, no. Why don't you go outside, brother, and look to see if this is indeed a bank? And he sits down to eat the yogurt, which tastes really fresh and nutritious this time. And the guy comes back in, and he says, it definitely is a bank. And he says, well, what did the sign say? And he said, the Sperm Bank of Ohio.
Kendall, I never.
They were broken into a sperm bank.
Never would have seen that coming. That's like an M. Night Shyamalan movie. That joke,
wasn't it? It was a twist ending.
It was better than the Village.
Yogurt-y
I'll
ending.
Give it that, Kendall.
Good.
Good.
Good. And he said it was good.
Oh, Kendall. Now, Mickey Mouse, everybody. He's having a nasty divorce with Minnie Mouse. And Mickey spoke to the judge about the separation, if you will. And the judge, he says, well, I'm sorry, Mickey, but I can't legally separate you two on the grounds that Minnie is mentally insane.
Ooh,
and,
he's a bitch.
I know, that's what Mickey wanted people to believe. And Mickey replied, well, I didn't say she was mentally insane. I said that she's fucking goofy.
Oh,
Kendall, I'm sorry to besmirch the legacy of Walt Disney. With
I
that
work
joke.
At Disney Studios, Cliff. His ghost is going to come and haunt me.
Oh, Kendall, that's just fucking goofy.
Cliff, a couple had been married for 50 years. They are sitting, I don't know why. They were sitting at the breakfast table one morning when the wife says, just think, 50 years ago, we were sitting here at this breakfast table together. And the old man said, oh, I know, we were probably sitting here naked as a jaybird 50 years ago.
Oh, my God.
And the old woman, she said, well, let's relive some old times, as she snickered. And upon this, Cliff, the two stripped to the buff and sat down at the table. And the little old lady said, you know, honey, my nipples are as hot for you today as they were 50 years ago.
Oh, my nipples.
And he says, I wouldn't be surprised. One's in your coffee and the other's in your oatmeal.
Oh.
My nipples are hot all the time, but it's probably because they're laying in some sort of food.
They are laying in the pasta warming dish outside of the buffet.
Yes.
Kendall, now the rest of my jokes, I want to let everybody know, Tyler found the rest of my jokes in the storage closet. It's tucked under some fiber bars, so they may be nearing their expiration date, okay? But I want everybody to know that there was this kid, he was sitting on his lawn.
Why don't you tell us about this kid, Cliff?
With a box. He was sitting out there on his lawn with a box of puppies one morning. And who was on his morning run accompanied by some Secret Service workers but George W. Bush?
Oh, God,
listeners. And Kendall W., he asked the boy, what kind of puppies are in the box? And the little boy, he said, Republicans. And the president, oh, he beamed from ear to ear.
Idiot.
Oh, he just beamed and patted the boy on the head and he said, that a boy.
And a few weeks later, George W. Bush was out again on another jog, probably on another vacation. Remember all those vacations he took?
Yes, I do.
He was out jogging, this time with Dick Cheney by his side. This Dick. Must have been pre-heart attack. And now Bush, he stops at the boy's house. He winked at Dick Cheney and he said, "Hey, kid, what kind of puppies are in the box?" And the boy said, "Democrats." Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
And George W. Bush, he looked crushed emotionally and spiritually. And he said, "What happened? A few weeks ago, them puppies was Republicans." And the boy said, "Oh, well, the puppies opened their eyes."
Oh, such smart little puppies, Cliff. I love them, and I want three of them.
That joke was like a Ken Burns documentary on PBS. It took us through history and back, and
you know,
we all felt so, we felt something.
Cliff Eddie wanted desperately to have sex with this really cute, really hot girl in his office.
Oh.
But she was dating somebody, Cliff, and one day Eddie got so frustrated that he went to her and said, "I'll give you $100 if you let me have sex with you." And the girl said, "No." And Eddie said, "Well, I'll be real fast. I'll throw the money on the floor, and you bend down, and I'll finish by the time you picked it up." And she thought for a moment and said, "Well, let me consult with my boyfriend." And because it was very easy to convince her, I guess, Cliff.
Uh-huh.
Slut. Her boyfriend said, "Ask him for $200. Pick up the money real fast, and he won't even be able to get his pants down." So she agreed, connivingly, Cliff, and accepted the proposal. So over half an hour goes by, and the boyfriend is still waiting for his girlfriend to call him. And finally, after 45 minutes, the boyfriend calls and asks what happened. And she is still breathing real hard, Cliff, and she managed to reply, "The bastard had all quarters."
The bastard
had quarters, Cliff. Oh. He asked for correct change.
Oh, my God. Kendall, two of Bill Clinton's sperm are swimming around inside. Where else? Monica Lewinsky.
Well, that's where they are, Cliff.
When one of the sperm looks at the other and says, "Well, hey, I think we're coming close to the ovaries."
Oh.
And the other looks at the other sperm and he says, "Hey, relax. We just passed the tonsil."
Oh. Cliff, I was about to say, your joke was inaccurate because he did not have sexual relations with that woman. But then
he did not.
He brought it back to reality, Cliff.
He didn't. Kid, I feel like we're on a trip down memory lane.
I'll tell you, just since you told that joke, that my joke, and the one that I found earlier, it involved a certain little boy, little Johnny, Cliff.
Yeah.
And they asked the kid, and they asked this little girl, and she said, "Well, she was a Bush fan, a George Bush fan." And he said, "Well, I'm not. I'm a Al Gore fan." And said, "Well, why aren't you Al Gore, a George Bush fan?" He said, "Because I'd be a fucking moron."
Because I'd be a fucking moron. All the fucking morons who voted for him in the year 2000. Kendall, can you believe it?
No, I can't, Cliff. Those morons.
Everybody ought to listen back. What episode did we talk about that on?
Oh, 1 through 5, probably somewhere around there. I'm sure it came up.
How can you tell if Michael Jackson has company?
Oh my God, Cliff, I don't know.
There's a big wheel parked outside his house. Kendall, what has 18 balls and 3 pubic hairs?
Oh, I don't. Me eating an ice cream cone Sunday?
Oh, Kendall, let's expunge that vision from our memories. 18 balls, 3 pubic hairs. That sounds like a Michael Jackson slumber party to
me.
Oh my God, Kendall, what is our friend Bill Clinton's idea of safe sex?
Oh, I don't know,
Cliff. Safe sex, according to Bill Clinton. Oh, that's when Hillary is out of town.
Oh.
And finally.
Finally, thank God.
Do you know why Monica got a stain on her dress?
Why she got one? No.
Oh, that bitch didn't keep her mouth shut.
Oh, God. Well, maybe she'd have kept her mouth open. She wouldn't have got a stain on her dress.
Oh, Kendall, you just got to take it back further, and then there's no cleanup. I got to take a break.
Oh, God, I had to take a break 15 minutes ago, so I'm glad it's here. We'll be right back, Mr. Troy, after
that. That's how I'm laughing now.
Don't touch that dial. There's more sass on the way. Stay tuned for more Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast.
Good evening. This is Mr. Snodbottom here, producer of Cliff and Candle, Coast to Coast. As we all know, Cliff and Candle are currently re-airing classic episodes from the vaults. These episodes are no longer available to fans, and this is all in celebration of our upcoming 200th show. Now, last week, Cliff and Candle referred to these episodes from the vaults as oldies but goodies, and our legal team has advised us to make a quick correction. These episodes are simply old, and there is no evidence of how good they may or may not be. So please proceed with caution and enjoy these old, not new, episodes coming every week in celebration of Cliff and Candle's 200th episode anniversary.
Make some room, Cliff and Kendall are back. No, seriously, they're morbidly obese. You're going to have to scoot over.
The road is long, with many a winding turn that leads us to who knows where. Knows where, but I'm strong enough to carry him. He ain't heavy, he's my brother. So on we go. His obesity's not my concern. No burden is he to bear. We'll get there. For I know well, he'd do the same for me. Kendall ain't heavy, he's my brother.
All right, Cliff, we're back. I feel like
we're back.
I feel like we're on the Tonight Show. We're having a discussion during the commercial break, and now the person on the camera said 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and we're back.
We are back,
and none of our listeners will know what we're talking about during break because
that
was turned the audio down.
deeply personal conversation.
I'm sure it had something to do about how fat we were or something.
It's definitely about how fat we were. I've got to trim down, Kendall. I am starring in a major independent motion picture.
If they ever make a movie about the world's fattest person, then I will go cast for that or audition for that.
Then we know when we walk into that casting call, everybody else just going to get up and leave.
They will. That's it for me. Don't need no makeup over there. Cliff.
Don't need no. Don't got none for that one.
I don't got nothing for that one. Don't got nothing for that one. Nothing for that one. Cliff, getting back to the subject of siblings.
Yeah.
Did you know, according to a U.S. Census, that 79% of all children in the United States currently live with their sibling? 79%.
These statistics are just out of this world. Where did our writers get time to do all this research?
And now this one, now Cliff, I had an aha moment.
Oh my goodness.
With this next one. I'm going to coin great. That phrase, Cliff. I had an aha moment. Did you? And if you think about this, it will just make you step back for a moment. Did you know the sibling relationship that you have is the longest lasting close human relationship that you will have, because
it
you
is.
Are with
it them. Outlasts your parents.
Yeah, you were with them at birth. It lasts till death, and you know usually your parents will die off. And I read that today, and I did. I had an aha moment. I thought that is so weird, and I thought, oh my God, as much as I fight with my sister, and she is the longest relationship I will have in this world.
Well, Kendra, you could get lucky. You could die young.
I could, if only I was that lucky.
If the song went, only the fat die young, we'd be dead.
Well, the fat do die young. It's just, that's statistics right there. We need to be role models for what not to do.
We are role models in that you would have to roll us down the aisle if we were modeling anything. And the only thing we could model may be the world's largest Snuggie.
And that's no joke.
That's no joke.
I've been getting texts through this whole episode that we've been doing.
Listen, because it's been so annoying sitting here watching your phone blow up.
I know. The kids want to tell us what they're saying, and I cannot hold them back any longer. It's time to hear what they're saying, Cliff. It's time to hear what the kids are saying.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Whoa, whoa, whoa,
whoa. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Yo, dog. No, that's not what kids are saying anymore. That's what we said as kids.
That's what we said.
That's what we said.
Yeah.
Cliff, do you know what a fuck-it list is?
A fuck-it list, yep. Kendall? Oh, my God. No.
Well, it's like a bucket list. It's a list of people that you want to have sex with before you die.
Oh.
Do you have a fuck-it list, Cliff?
Oh, well, you know, I better make one.
Now that you know what it is, you better make one.
Uh-huh.
What are the kids saying to you, Cliff?
Oh, I'm just finishing my list over here. Let me see. Frank and Jake, Jillian,
Hall. You can make a fucking list later. You don't have to do it right now.
Kendall, do you know what a protein shake is?
A protein?
Protein shake. Kendall, that's when working out with a group of friends and one makes you your post-workout shake for you just to be nice.
Oh, how nice of that bro.
Yeah, an exchange about it might go like this. Skylar puts hella berries in the protein shakes he makes me after we hit the gym. That's why protein shakes taste so much better than protein shakes. And of course, I should have known that you didn't know what a protein shake was, because the definition starts out when working out.
I know. When at the gym, and I was like, oh, I stopped listening. Cliff, do you know what a blumpkin is?
A blumpkin, Kendall. I think there might be some hair on this goodie, but what a hairy goodie.
Have you really told what a blumpkin is before?
Is it receiving a blowjob while you're pooping?
Yeah, you know, I must have shut it out of my mind. It must have been so disgusting that I shut it out of mind, and I thought, when I saw it today, I thought, oh, nobody's ever said that on the show. I have to read that.
Because we're always trying to break down barriers.
Yeah, and as used in a sentence, he agreed to give me a blumpkin as long as Hot Carl came to visit.
Kendall, do you know what sisters before misters means?
No, what does that mean?
That's what you say when a girl ditches her girlfriends to chill with her boyfriend. It's if a girl blows off her friends or just hangs out with her boy instead of her girlies, and they're offended because they know they love her more. It's similar, Kendall, to how we're always saying bros before hoes.
Now, what's the phrase again?
Sisters before misters.
Fisters before sisters.
Fisters. Twisted fister, yeah.
Cliff, do you know what message anxiety is?
Message anxiety. No, let me know.
It's not that.
Oh, no.
That's not it. Excuse me. Oh, listeners, I'm so sorry. I've never done it before on the show.
But all right.
Message anxiety is the act of pausing, freezing up, or dreading viewing of an email, text message, or voicemail that you fear might be bad, negative, or major importance to you. I have message anxiety 24 hours a day, 7 days a week when I'm working. There you go. That shows we're brothers. Brothers from another mother.
Brothers from another mother. Kendall, I know that you have taken a few of these, okay?
Uh-oh.
Beef walk.
Beef walk?
Beef walk. You've taken a few beef walks, right? That's when you go outside or away from the group in order to fart with less consequence. And that's when person A, he might say, where did you just go? And person B says, I had to go on a beef walk. McDonald's for lunch gave me the McFarts.
You know, Cliff, I don't take beef walks. I just do them right there in front of everybody. They're just quiet. I just make sure they're nice and quiet. And I tried to disguise the noise. Cliff, do you know what joke insurance is?
Joke insurance, that's when you tell a joke to someone and they feel obliged to laugh at it, whether it's funny or not.
Yes, Cliff, you are my joke insurance, so you better laugh it up, bitch.
Kendall, my phone's about to die.
Then we better stop listening to what the kids are saying, Cliff.
No, my phone's about to die. That is an expression commonly used to signal to another party that either A, you no longer want to text them, or B, you intend on hanging up. This is a smooth way to avoid answering or hearing things from other people.
Well, you know what's funny is that that is so ingrained in my head that when you said that, I thought, that must mean that it's time to end this segment. Because I'm so used to hearing that from people. I thought, okay, bye.
Okay, bye. I guess the show's over this week, everybody.
Cliff, is that all the kids are saying to you?
That's all the kids. The kids, it's past their bedtime. Go to bed, kids.
It is. Go the fuck to sleep.
Go.
Because we got a minute coming up that I love, Cliff. It's one of my favorite segments. It is one of my favorite segments. It's time for Cliff's Meaty Minute. I just love it. I love when you do a Meaty Minute.
I know you do. I know you do, Kendall. So, Cliff, I don't love doing it as much as I love how much you love it. So that's why I love it.
As my brother, you're doing it for me.
Yeah. All right, Kendall, start that clock.
I'm going to give you 12 minutes. Here we go. Go.
Kendall, do you know what major blockbuster came out this past weekend?
I love more.
Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2.
No, Kendall. Now, while that may have broken every record for weekend opening, I'm not talking about Harry Potter or Deathly Hallows Part 2. I'm talking about a little movie called The Undefeated. It's a beautiful moving documentary about none other than our should have been First Lady Sarah Palin. It's out at theaters, Kendall, but now word has it that it was playing to nearly empty audiences, but I wanted to use this time to let people know that it's out there. Go look it up. The Undefeated. You know who else is back? Sarah Palin's back in theaters. She's back on top. You know who else is back?
Us.
Us. We're so back, it's scary. No, but really one of my true, true heroes, Roseanne, is back. She's back, Kendall. Mm-hmm.
And she's nuts.
She's nuts. I don't want to upset Kathy Griffin, but I think we might have to throw our devotion to Roseanne because her reality show, Roseanne's Nuts, is so funny, so good. She's so refreshing to hear from her.
I'll be contacting Roseanne's people tomorrow.
Please do. I love Roseanne. Finally, last bit of media. What do you feel about this news from Glee about how so many of them are graduating, never to be heard from again after this next season?
Well, I'm really sad, but I feel like there's going to be some sort of spinoff with them, and I think it'll be fine. And you know, I mean, it is part of me like thinks, well, you know, I always get mad when shows have 12 years of kids in high school. So part of me thinks, well, I should be happy that they're doing this. But then the other part of me is real mad, too. So.
Okay. I'm sad. I will only be really happy. Yeah. I will only be really happy if there is a spinoff of, like, Rachel and Kurt and Blaine going to New York. And doing that.
I think they have to do it because it's too weird for them to do that when they're at such high, you know, peak of success. I feel like there has to be a spinoff. That Fox wouldn't let them do that, so.
Yeah. To just, in effect, kill off all of our favorite characters.
Right. It's like Cliff and Kendall, Coast to Coast. Cliff and Kendall die in a big explosion, and Mr. Snodbot and Mrs. Potter Butterbutterturn take over the show.
Yeah, people
might like that better.
That might be the key to our success. That's all the media I've got.
Oh, Cliff, that was such great media.
What a good media analyst I am.
You are. I love your media.
I do.
Oh, and that's sad that I love your media so much. Don't got nothing for that one.
It is sad.
Oh, now, Cliff, well, let me stop that for just a second. I wanted to tell you one other thing. It doesn't have anything to do with siblings, but I thought it might be a fun little story to share on the
share that story. I found something over here. Tyler, he left me a gift over here on my desk. Did you see it?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, he rolled it himself.
Oh, that's so nice. Why don't you take care of that, and I'll tell you the story.
It's a roll of quarters to do laundry with, everybody. What are you talking about?
I don't know. What are you talking about?
What are you talking about? You talking to me.
Cliff, So, you know, I'm working at Disney now, and I had to go in real early the other morning. I was there by myself, and I heard somebody walking down the hall, right? So I go out and look, and nobody's there. And then I heard somebody, like, rattling on the shelves, like moving stuff around on the shelf. And I'm 100% assured that there is a ghost living in our office. I mean, the building's been there since 1939. Like, Walt Disney himself ghost walked in through the building. So I started, like, looking around, trying to find stuff on the internet about Walt Disney's ghost being at Disney Studios. Yeah. And then I found this video of him walking through Disneyland. His ghost, and it,
my goodness,
it's
my goodness,
amazing. Goodness. So anyway, I should like post that onto our blog because I was just in awe, like enamored by this video. So.
That is enamoring, isn't it?
Oh, shut up. Cliff, we had an email.
How secretly excited are you at the prospect that you're being haunted by Walt Disney?
Oh, look, if there was a regular ghost, I'd be so scared, but I thought it could be Walt Disney. I thought I'm honored enough to be spooked by Walt Disney, then it makes me happy.
Spook him, Walt.
Spook him if you got him, Cliff. Hey, we got it.
That's what I'm doing. I'm just spooking.
We got an email or an email on Facebook this week.
Oh my goodness, a Facebook mail.
And I wanted to read it to you. It's from Jennifer, our good friend, listener Jennifer. And in response to you saying last week, Jennifer's screaming all the answers to you, Kendall, on the Harry Potter quiz. Her response
was, I knew she would be.
I'm screaming the answers to your quiz. I'm the high inquisitor of Harry Potter.
I bet she is. She's been named Grand High Inquisitor.
She is. I wish we should have had her on the show to answer questions about Harry Potter.
We're so stupid.
We are. But
next time, Harry Potter anniversary show, we'll do it.
Yes, we will. Absolutely. All right. And it's sad that we didn't have her on the air. So I'll start that music again.
It is sad.
So sad. Cliff.
It's just as sad as the last Harry Potter, Kendall. Did you weep?
I'm ashamed to say I did. I started halfway through.
I told you. I started halfway through and I never quite stopped.
Let me tell you when I started weeping. When Professor McGonagall said... said, use his name. He's going to kill you either way.
Yes.
And I don't know why. Yes. It was like so emotional. And from that moment on, I kept tearing up. And I was like... Kendall, compose yourself. You're in a room full of people that are so much younger than you. You will look like that weird old guy crying. So I tried to contain myself.
Well, luckily, I went in Midnight, as we said last week, and it was playing on so many screens that none of them were quite sold out or anything.
Yeah.
So I got to sit over by myself, and I was that old man who was just weeping.
Well, I heard plenty of people weeping. In the quiet.
Oh,
moments.
I did too. Yes, but yes. I was just telling somebody that tonight.
It got quiet, and you were here.
yes. But you're right. But they did so well at giving moments like those to Professor McGonagall, moments to characters who we've missed.
Oh, I know.
We're gonna miss.
But this is not the Harry Potter podcast part 3, Cliff. If our listeners want to know more about their siblings,
but Jennifer is sitting there thinking, "I love that they're talking about Harry Potter."
She is. We love you too, Jennifer. But if our listeners want to know more about our siblings, go to cliffandkendall.com, cliffandkendall.blogspot.com, facebook.com/cliffandkendall, emails at cliffandkendall@yahoo.com, twitter.com/cliffandkendall, or give us a call on our fat line. We will play your message on the show at 818-308-4FAT. Cliff, do you have a quote?
I do, Kendall.
Give it to me, Cliff. Give it to me, bro.
I don't believe an accident of birth makes people sisters or brothers. It makes them siblings, gives them mutuality of parentage. Sisterhood and brotherhood is a condition people have to work at.
Oh, and we are brotherhoods right here.
That was said by the Cliff and Kendall of her time, Maya Angelou.
Oh, beautiful. Well, we have a brotherhood here. We're not siblings, but
we do. We do have a brotherhood. Kendall, whatever happened to the brotherhood of man?
I don't know. That's what happened to it. Cliff, our siblings, they resemble us just enough to make all their differences confusing, and no matter what we choose to make of this, we are cast in relation to them our whole lives long. And that's Susan Scarf.
Susan Scarf. Kendall.
She's a great woman.
Help your brother's boat across and your own will reach the shore. And that's a Hindu proverb.
Oh, I'm so happy for Hindu proverbs, Cliff. And siblings are the people we practice on. The people who teach us about fairness and cooperation and kindness and caring quite often the hard way. And that was Pamela Dugdale, Cliff.
Dugdale and Scarf. If only they would open a law firm.
Great women, Cliff. Doug Dillon Scarf, Law Associates.
American heroes. I'm Cliff.
Oh, and I'm Kendall. Thanks for listening, brothers and sisters. We'll see you here next week.
We'll see ya. Bye. We love you like brothers and sisters.
Like siblings.
He's my brother. If I'm laden at all, I am laden with sadness, a sadness, oh, a sadness that everybody's heart, well, it's not filled with the gladness that I feel and love for one another. It's a long, long road, oh, from which there is no return. While we're on our way to there, why not share? And here's enormous weight, it don't weigh me down at all. He ain't heavy, he's my brother. Oh, he may look heavy, you may think it's an optical illusion, but no, Kendall ain't heavy, he's my brother. He ain't heavy, he's my brother.
Thanks for listening to today's show, Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast. We'll be here next time. Keep the emails coming in and be sure to subscribe.
Kendall, whatever happened to the Brotherhood of Man? Brotherhood of Man? Brotherhood of Man? Brotherhood of Man? Brotherhood of Man?